to Swish and Tell, the show where we discuss some of the stories you might have missed from the peachbasket.net. All right, so let's start with Oklahoma City's approach to this game. I think it's fair to say their strategy was, well, kind of genius. They emphasized gap defense, especially early on, which completely threw off the Celtics' rhythm. Honestly, forcing Boston into 24 three-point attempts in just the first quarter, that's not by accident.
Yeah, and they only hit like 9 of them. That's wild. I mean, you're telling me Boston's offense didn't see this coming? They got one of the best offenses in the league, man, and they got locked down like that.
Exactly. And the Thunder weren't just sitting back either. You look at players like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Cason Wallace. Both of them smothered Jaylen Brown every time he touched the ball. Brown was trying to work those screens and rotations, but it just wasn't happening. He couldn't find his flow.
Man, Jaylen Brown's one of those guys who, when he gets in rhythm, he's unstoppable. But OKC made him look ordinary. And can we talk about the bench for a sec? Dude, Isaiah Hartenstein, this man came off the bench and ran that team like a conductor out there.
Totally agree. Hartenstein's impact when Shai was off the court was probably one of the biggest surprises of the night. That ability to draw fouls, facilitate plays, it's a huge reason OKC kept up their momentum and Boston just couldn't capitalize.
And Boston had chances. Key turnovers, missed free throws. It's like they couldn't get out of their own way at critical moments. It reminded me of, you remember that playoff series against the Heat a couple years back?
You're talking about how they fell apart under pressure, right? It's definitely a valid comparison. Same story. So much talent. But when the stakes are high, those mistakes creep up. That free throw performance, for instance, Boston missed out on vital points.
Right. And I gotta say, it's games like this that make you wonder, are the Celtics making the same mistakes over and over? Like, they've got this cycle of not closing out games, especially against teams that play with grit like OKC.
It's a question worth asking. If they're going to contend, these issues, whether it's turnovers or inconsistent offense, have to get addressed. The Thunder exposed them in just about every way, showing not just how sharp OKC's defense is, but also how vulnerable the Celtics are when they aren't locked in mentally. And you know that gap defense? It's not going away. Other teams are watching this game tape closely. Speaking of teams with sky-high expectations but inconsistent results, let's shift gears to the Clippers. Here's a team loaded with star power. Kawhi Leonard, James Harden, Ivica Zubac, and yet they're sitting in eighth place. Marcus, how does a team with this much talent get stuck in the play-in zone?
Man, I don't even know. But it's frustrating, right? This squad's got everything they need to compete. It's the inconsistency that's killing them. One night, they're shutting people down, dunking on everyone. Next game, turnovers, falling asleep on defense. Like, who are these guys?
Exactly. One phrase sums it up for me. Fundamental errors. There's such a stark difference between their best and worst performances. Like, when they're locked in, they look like legit contenders. But when they're off, it's like they've forgotten the basics of basketball. Execution, focus, urgency.
Urgency is the big one. It's like they're out there just waiting for someone else to step up. No sense of let's go get this win. Drives me crazy, man. And don't even get me started on those fourth quarter collapses.
It's maddening, isn't it? But you know what's wild? Despite all of this inconsistency, they're only 2 games back from the 6th seed. That's it. It's not like they're way out of it. If they can just clean up the sloppiness, play smarter, they could avoid the play-in altogether.
For real. And look, they've got no excuses left. Tonight, Charlotte's coming to their house, and the Clippers better show up like they mean it. Like, stop playing, take care of the ball, clamp down on defense, and just remind the league who they are.
And this isn't a talent problem. Kawhi can still take over a game. Harden's one of the best playmakers when he's locked in. And Zubac, he's not the flashy, stretch-the-floor center everybody talks about, but he owns the paint. This team has what it takes.
Exactly. But it's time for him to stop talking about what they can do and just show it. 6th seed isn't a goal at this point. It should be a minimum expectation. They got to stop fooling around, lock in, and climb those standings.
Speaking of execution and playing the right way, we were just ripping the Clippers for their inconsistency. But look at the Spurs. 200 straight games with 20 or more assists? That's, pretty much insane. No one in NBA history has done this, Marcus, and honestly, I think it says everything you need to know about their culture. Team-first basketball, Greg Popovich, the system, it all clicks.
Man, I love that stat. 200 games. Can we just, like, appreciate what that means? Every possession, every game, these guys are moving the ball. And let me tell you, this isn't just throwing random passes. This is IQ basketball at its finest.
Exactly. We're talking about a team that doesn't rely on just one or two players to dominate. They engage everyone, from seasoned veterans to rookies. It's this dynamic blend that makes it work. And Pop? He's probably in the locker room saying, yo, one more pass, guys, make that extra pass.
And they listen. Popovich is just that dude, always has been. And you know, this streak isn't just a stat, it's a philosophy. It's the Spurs saying, we don't care how flashy basketball gets, we're going to play it the right way.
And it's brilliant. Look, in a modern NBA where analytics have teams obsessed with high pick and rolls and isolation-style offense, the Spurs are like this counterpoint. They're not chasing individual greatness. They're proving that the team is greater than the sum of its parts.
Oh, 100%. And this streak goes beyond the numbers, you know? It's not just highlights. This is fundamentals. This is how you build chemistry. Honestly, it's how you win championships. Maybe not this year, but you know what I mean.
Ha, right. And what's cool is how the younger guys on the team are buying in. They're learning from vets, molding themselves into this system. It's why, even when San Antonio doesn't have a star-studded roster, they're still exciting to watch.
Like, facts. These rookies are about it, man. They're not just showing up. They're feeding into this culture. It's why the Spurs stay relevant, even in down years. That's why they're an OG franchise, no question.
And speaking of team culture, let's turn our attention to Portland. The Blazers might not be dominating like the Spurs, but they've got one of the most exciting young cores in the league right now. Scoot Henderson, Shaedon Sharpe, Toumani Kamara. They're building something that could be pretty special.
Man, Scoot has been balling. People were doubting him in the draft, but this kid is proving why Portland's front office took a chance. His energy, his ability to score and facilitate, it's like you can see the star potential starting to, you know, shine through.
Exactly. And with Shaedon Sharpe, you've got this versatile guard who can contribute on both ends. He's not just a role player. He's one of those guys you build a team around if he develops the right way. And speaking of foundational players, Toumani Kamara's defensive growth has been remarkable. Winning Defensive Player of the Month at this stage in his career, that says something.
Oh, for sure. Kamara's impact on defense has been huge. He kind of reminds me of, like, a young Serge Ibaka. You know, that dude who might not make headlines every night but is working hard, locking people down, and making life tough for opponents. You gotta love guys like that.
And this is where it gets interesting, because there's talk about Jeremy Grant possibly getting traded. Now, if that happens, it opens up salary space and flexibility for Portland to continue building this roster. But it's a tricky move, Marcus. It could shift the entire trajectory of their rebuild.
It's a risk, no doubt. But this isn't the first team to try and rebuild in a stacked Western Conference. Look at the Thunder. They've been down this road. Load up on draft assets, develop young talent, and then boom, out of nowhere, they're contenders again. If Portland plays it smart, they could do the same kind of thing.
Right. The Thunder's rebuild is the perfect blueprint here. Stay patient, draft well, and focus on player development. But Portland has to play it carefully. Not every gamble pays off. That's why balancing growth with veteran leadership is going to be key. Losing Jeremy makes sense if it clears the path for their younger guys to step up.
And they've got those guys ready. Scoot, Sharpe, man, the potential is crazy. They've got the fans excited again, and that's half the battle. I think in a couple years, maybe sooner than people think, we're talking playoff basketball in Portland. Bookmark it, Jose.
I hope you're right. It would be great to see Portland back in the playoff mix. Watching this team evolve is what makes basketball so special. Seeing a plan come to life. And on that note, Marcus, I think we've covered it all for today. great conversation.
Oh yeah, this was fun. I'll catch you next time, Jose. And hey, to everyone listening, stick around. There's always more to come on Swish and Tell. Peach basket, peach basket. The voice of the fan, the voice of the fan.